welcome into Words with Wallace. I'm your host, Nick Wallace, coming at you. It is Sunday, April 20th. What is going on, everybody? First and foremost, happy Easter to those who celebrate. Hopefully you guys who do celebrate have the chance to see some family today, enjoy a nice meal. Just when you're doing all that, make sure that you're in possession of the coveted TV remote, because we have incredible NBA games going all day long, especially for you Celtics fans watching. The road to Banner 19, the title defense starts today. I can't wait. And by the way, happy 420 to those who celebrate as well. I mean, what a glorious merger of two beloved holidays. If that's not worth celebrating, I don't know what is. You sprinkle in some NBA action on top of that. You know what the best part is? You don't have to pick just one to celebrate. Why not celebrate all three just like I'm going to do today? I can't wait. But before I can get into all the festivities to come later today, we got to talk about the playoffs, man. The playoffs kicked off yesterday. I should mention apologies for not getting my playoff preview out before the NBA playoffs actually start. That's usually what you like to do if you're going to be giving out picks and advice for who's going to win these matchups. But plans changed. I went to Austin for work, saw my buddy Rob, saw my guy Connor. I had a really great weekend, and so had to push back the recording of this podcast by one day. But that does not mean I was not dialed in for the vast majority of the games yesterday. I'll be pretty honest about which games I was actually really locked in for. But we did have a really great start to the NBA playoff slate yesterday. I'd say two of the four games were really entertaining. And so what we're going to do today is quickly, and I mean very quickly, recap the play-in. It is worth noting what teams ended up being slotted in at that 7 and 8 seed. Then we're going to go through a brief recap of the games that took place yesterday on the 19th. And then we're going to preview the four series that starts today. And I will give out my picks for all of them, my entire playoff bracket the rest of the way, my NBA Finals pick. And I'm going to try to get you all that information in roughly 40 minutes or less, because I want to make sure I get all this done before OKC tips off in a little bit. So let's start off with the play-in action that we saw take place on Tuesday. So we had six play-in games the past week, and again, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because really only like two of the six games, 33% of the games, were actually watchable, but we'll fly through and recap what happened, starting with the games on Tuesday night with the Magic and the Hawks. This game, of course, determined the seventh seed in the Eastern Conference. My pick was Orlando, and ultimately they came away with a very easy win over Atlanta. They actually hit their threes that game. It was just a tough matchup for Atlanta, so Magic were able to win that game really easily. The game was ultimately a snooze fest. Moving on to the second game on Tuesday, Warriors versus Grizzlies. Same situation here. These teams competing for the seventh seed in the West. I would argue the stakes for this game are a little bit higher because there's a big difference between the seventh seed and the eighth seed in the West. If you're at the eighth seed, you got to play OKC, who's been a juggernaut all year. Meanwhile, if you get up to the seventh seed, you get to play Houston, who arguably is a bit easier to beat, right? They don't have any real playoff experience, despite making it all the way up to the two seed this year. And so this game was actually really close, closer than what it should have been. I mean, Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry combined for 75 points. No Kuminga in this game. You got another DNP after sitting out the final game of the regular season. And frankly, I mean, credit to Memphis for sticking in this game on the road and playing pretty tough. But I think the Warriors should have been able to handle business a little bit easier than what they did. But my biggest takeaway was like Steph looks great like he has been the past couple months. Jimmy got banged up in that final regular season game and he looked great against Memphis. So if those two guys are locked in, they're going to be really tough to beat. But again, the second straight game with no Jonathan Kuminga, with him getting back-to-back DNPs, you have to wonder what his role is going to be against the Houston Rockets later today when that series kicks off. And so we're going to talk more about Kuminga in a little bit. Moving into the play-in games on Wednesday, Bulls versus Heat. I mean, this one was a snooze fest. The Heat won pretty easily. And the Bulls, you'd think by like year five or whatever this is of being in the play-in, it feels like they've been in like that 9-10 matchup. Basically, every single year the play-in's been a thing and they still haven't figured it out. So gotta be really disappointing to be a Bulls fan. And then moving on to the second game that we had on Wednesday, you have really the Bulls of the West in the Sacramento Kings. I mean, again, they absolutely shit the bed against the Dallas Mavericks. Another snooze fest game, an easy win for the Mavericks. And I don't know how you ever take the Kings seriously. I'm sorry. I know Sabonis is a really talented player and DeMar DeRozan can still produce at a high level. But like, man, I will never believe in this team in any capacity until they mix up their core. I think this is as good of a sign as any to try to rebuild and maybe trade Sabonis to see what you can get for these guys and lean into the tank, because it's so hard in the Western Conference. I'd rather start that rebuild now than wait a few years. And the final day of play in action, we had one really good game here. That was on Friday night, Heat versus Hawks, an incredible overtime game. Davion Mitchell was the hero for the Miami Heat in this one. He's been a great asset for Miami ever since they picked him up at the trade deadline. He had 9 points. hitting three different threes in overtime, as well as drew a really crucial offensive foul to effectively seal the game for the Miami Heat. On Atlanta's side of things, Trae Young balled out, Okongwu balled out, but really the production that they got out of their rookie, number one overall pick, Zachary Risacher, really killed him. I think he missed all of his threes. He finished the game with like 3 points, and I think he shot like 1 of 11 from the field, so can't be too surprised at his first taste of like postseason action. He didn't come up strong. They got some good performances off the bench, and it really was a great back-and-forth game that could have gone either way, but ultimately, it's just so hard to beat Miami in those games, man. I should have seen it coming. I picked Chicago to land that last Eastern spot. I should have gone with the Heat just because of the coaching edge and experience that they have, but ultimately, I'm not taking any of these teams to have a real chance against Cleveland either way. And then the final play-in game, Mavs versus Grizzlies. I feel bad for Anthony Davis. He had 40 points. He balled out. But ultimately, Memphis is a better team. I picked Dallas because I wanted them to win, and I just really can't stand the Grizzlies. But the Grizzlies are a much better team. Even though they're dealing with their own injuries, they're just more complete. They have certainly a lot more production from the guard spots, and the better team won. And so the Grizzlies get the opportunity to play against OKC here within the hour. Now, keeping things moving to what you guys came here for, the first taste that we got of NBA playoff action this season, and we started things off with the Pacers versus the Bucks. Now, because I knew I wasn't going to get this podcast out, it is worth noting that I tweeted out my NBA playoff bracket yesterday morning just to get all those picks on the record. I certainly did not use any of what I learned and what I saw in the first slate of game ones yesterday to influence my picks for the series. And not gonna lie, the team that I picked to win the series did not win the very first playoff game, which was again between the Pacers and the Bucks. This was a pretty easy win for the Indiana Pacers at home, despite some really poor outside shooting from Tyrese Halliburton. He still did his thing. He made some plays and whatnot. And honestly, I wasn't super dialed in for this when I was traveling during it. So I watched back a little bit of it. And the number one thing that stood out to me on the Milwaukee side of things was, of course, Kyle Kuzma channeling the great former Buck, Tony Snell, and recreating his 20-something minute zero stat performance. That's right. Kyle Kuzma started the game, played 21 minutes for the Bucks, didn't record a single point, rebound, assist, block, steal, turnover. Did record a couple fouls, though, so he was in the stat sheet for that, as well as some 0-5 shooting from the field. So that really sums up what the supporting cast for the Milwaukee Bucks was able to do. I mean, Giannis was outstanding in this game. If you're picking nits with Giannis, it comes back to the free throw shooting. He only shot 53% from the line. He left 7 points at the line, so to speak, but realistically, you're not expecting Giannis to shoot 80% from the line any given game. And even though he got like 30-something points, he was incredible on both ends. It wasn't enough. And we knew that Damian Lillard wasn't going to be available for the series opener as he wasn't yesterday. And the thing that powered the Bucks during this recent stretch without Damian Lillard toward the end of the regular season was Kevin Porter Jr., what he was able to bring off the bench and really just be like an on-ball creator for them, handle the ball a little bit. Milwaukee is desperately lacking that without Damian Lillard in the mix. And while they decided to bring KPJ off the bench in this one just like they had the previous few weeks, I really think, if anything, like, dude, it's the playoffs. Just get your best playmaker handling the ball, obviously, besides Giannis, on the court to start the game. I think that could have helped things out because the Bucks, right out the gate, came out pretty sluggish. And so, ultimately, KPJ wasn't bad. But, I mean, you're kind of in a tough spot if you're expecting him to be, like, a really significant playoff contributor either way. But that's what the Bucks are going to need if they want to steal one of these games without Damian Lillard. However, it is worth noting that we did get the positive news that Dame is expected to return for Game 2 or Game 3. My guess is he'll be back for Game 3 just because that's the first home game at Milwaukee. So they'll be in a decent spot. Even if they're down 0-2 in the series, they're very much going to have a chance with Damian Lillard back in the mix, which is pretty crazy. Apparently, it's like a medical anomaly that he was able to recover from the blood clots in his calf as quickly as he did. So I hope that he's 100% out there. I hope he's not, you know, really taking a risk by being out there on the court. I can't imagine that he is. But I feel like Dame just gets a really bad rep, right? I think people are just like looking at his resume in totality and the fact that he's only has like one Western Conference Finals run throughout his entire career as far as like his postseason performances. And, you know, he gets bashed a lot for that, but he was in a loaded Western Conference. I don't think any of us thought that those Portland teams were really any good. And so I just feel like when they get Dame back, he was very quietly so good for the Bucks all year long. I think I would have had Dame for third team All-NBA if he actually hit the 65-game threshold. Like, that's how good he was for Milwaukee. And of course, this is the first time in 3 years that we've seen a healthy Giannis for the playoffs. And so with or without Dame, I got to be honest with you, I was going to take Milwaukee in this one. I certainly don't feel great after game one, but knowing that they're going to get Damian Lillard back in the mix here pretty soon makes me still feel confident that the Bucks are going to be able to pull this out in six games. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a hard-fought series. If it goes seven, I won't be surprised either. But you got to think that Milwaukee was almost able to beat the Bucks in round one last year with only like three or four games from Dame and really no games from Giannis. And so I just feel really good about the Bucks if Giannis is healthy. Despite what we saw yesterday, I'm still taking the Bucks to win in six. And then moving on to the second series that we saw yesterday, and this was easily the game I was looking forward to the most, and it did not disappoint. It was the best game of the day, Clippers versus Nuggets. The Nuggets, despite a really uninspiring start to the game, ended up winning this game in overtime. On the Clippers side of things, James Harden and Zubac were amazing. Of course, as was Jokic for Denver. Jokic did smoke two free throws with like 1 minute left in regulation that ultimately could have clinched the game before it went into overtime. So I did just want to note that I could not believe that Jokic went 0 of 2 from the line in that situation despite being like an 80% free throw shooter. Jamal Murray throughout the game like seemed like he was actively knocking off some of the rust. I know he played in like the final couple regular season games for the Nuggets, and so it's not like this was the first that we've seen him since his most recent injury, but he progressively got better as the game went on. They needed him to stay confident. They needed him to continue to take shots, and he finished the game with 21 points, 9 boards, and 7 assists. If you're a Nuggets fan, I think you have to be happy with what you saw from Jamal Murray, despite the fact that LA has a lot of tough guys that they can send at Jamal Murray on the defensive end of the court. Mainly Chris Dunn, right? They had Kawhi guarding him toward the end of the game as well for like the final shots. And so you got to be scared if you're a Clippers fan in that situation too, because no matter what Jamal Murray shoots during the beginning of the game, he's not a guy you want to see handling the rock when the game is tied and they have an opportunity to win. I think the biggest storyline coming out of the game, especially for the Nuggets, is the decision that the coaching staff made to move away from Michael Porter Jr. He only played 26 minutes in this game, had just 3 points on 4 shots. And because of that, they decided to close with who else but Russell Westbrook. It's unbelievable that this guy, we see him make these crazy mistakes all regular season long at the end of close games. That's been like his bugaboo throughout his entire career. It's just his decision-making in clutch situations. Yet again, they feel like because of the pressure that he puts on the offensive glass, which was on full display late in the fourth quarter and during overtime as well, like Westbrook was manic on the boards. He missed a lot of shots. He also hit the biggest three of the entire game at the end of regulation to help send it to overtime. But also, the ball found his hands at the final seconds of regulation, and Westbrook like fumbled it and shot faked and tried to throw it off of Harden's leg. And they had a Houston situation, if you guys remember the college national championship game. They didn't even get up a look at the end of regulation with the game tied that could have won them the game. And so highs and lows of Westbrook were on full display. That's what's going to happen if you're asking him to close games. And it's really uncanny that the ball just finds his hands over and over. I mean, I want to give Westbrook like some credit too. Like, I feel like if you're Jokic or Murray or whoever passed him the ball in that situation, like you don't want it to find Westbrook. Like, you got to put some of the blame on like whoever passed him the ball in that situation. But I think ultimately if Denver wants to beat the Clippers, which is going to be a dogfight, I expect every game to be similar to what it was yesterday. They need Michael Porter Jr. involved. They can't afford to just punt on him. Like, sure, if it makes sense to close with Westbrook another game, like, so be it. But you need MPJ desperately because he is their only truly plus outside shooter that they can depend on. Like, they already shoot toward the bottom of the league as far as total three-pointers attempted. And that's just going to put a ceiling on their offense, even having the best player in basketball with Jokic there. And so I can't say I was super inspired by the Nuggets overall. I thought for sure that they were going to lose that game with how bad they looked early on with the way Zubac did whatever he wanted. But ultimately, Denver was really able to smash the offensive glass. Jokic was great all game long. Murray found his rhythm. Aaron Gordon was really solid. And the role players from Denver as a whole were really productive in this one, where the fear for Denver comes in. Are those role players, are those guys going to be able to hit shots in a much more hostile environment on the road for the Clippers? And so my pick for the series is going to be Denver. I'm going to be talking more about Denver in a little bit, but I have them winning this series in 7 games. So definitely happy that they were able to pull out game one at home. And I don't think it's going to get any easier, right? Because Kawhi Leonard, Norm Powell, they had, you know, relatively tough games, especially Powell with how many turnovers he has, and Kawhi only finished the game with 21 points. It felt like he's had better performances as of late, and so you know those guys are going to be gunning for Denver in game two. Next game we had yesterday, arguably the second best game of the day, Knicks versus Pistons. And this one is an absolute case study on why playoff experience matters. It was a super competitive game. The energy from Detroit matching the physicality of the New York Knicks, and maybe even being a little bit tougher than New York on both ends of the court, gave the Pistons an 8-point lead heading into the fourth quarter. They were feeling confident on the road at the Garden, and then boom, right to start the fourth quarter, the Knicks rip off a 21-0 run, end up winning the game comfortably, outscoring the Pistons by 19 in total during the fourth quarter. A huge shout out to Campaign, who I believe had like 11 points in the fourth quarter. I'm not even sure if he missed a shot. It's kind of funny having a guy in Tom Thibodeau who relies on his starters so much, like finding a gem on the end of his bench. You'd think if any guard off the bench were able to give the Knicks a spark, it'd be Deuce McBride, but in this one, it was Campaign. And so it felt like Detroit really squandered an opportunity to take control of this series and steal a game on the road, like really punch the Knicks in the mouth off the gate. But ultimately, Cade Cunningham, like they were able to send a lot of attention at him, didn't end up shooting the ball all that well, finished the game with like his usual like 6 turnovers or something like that. And sadly, if Detroit wants to win this game because of the lack of on-ball creators that they have, they just need Cade Cunningham to be the best player in the series. And it's a tall task to ask him to outplay Jalen Brunson, who obviously has had plenty of playoff moments for the Knicks, for the Mavericks as well. Like, he's just a stud. He was on one yesterday. I took the Knicks before this series. I'm feeling very comfortable with that pick before last game. As much as I liked watching the Pistons all year long, I think the playoffs are a different beast. And then the final game of the day that we had yesterday, Lakers versus Wolves. And this one I was shocked about, man. I felt really good about my pick of the Los Angeles Lakers in this series, really just because of what I saw from Luka in the Western Conference Finals last year. I know he was with a different team, but he looked so comfortable on the offensive end of the court against the Timberwolves. That was arguably Luka's best playoff series ever. Minnesota has a ton of great defenders, headlined by Jaden McDaniels on the perimeter side of things, but for whatever reason, like, the body types just don't align in McDaniels' favor, where as of last year just was not strong enough to really slow down Luka. And I felt like with the comfort level that Luka showed against his team last year, that the Lakers would have no problem winning this series. But I was shocked with the results of yesterday. It felt like the Lakers did not even know that the playoffs started. They could not match the Wolves' intensity at all, really, at any point in the game. And it felt like that home Lakers crowd was immediately neutralized because Minnesota was just playing so much harder. And while Luka, just like I predicted, had a really great offensive game, Minnesota did a much better job attacking Luka on the defensive end of the court than they did during the entire Western Conference Finals series last year. It felt like they really made it a point to put Luka on an island and make him guard as much as possible. And Minnesota was able to take advantage of that. LeBron had an okay game, but ultimately that three ball has been gone for a while. And I feel like the Lakers really need LeBron's three-point shooting to come back to a higher level like it was to start the year if they want to feel confident about their ability to win the Western Conference. And when you look at yesterday's game as a whole, you get a pretty mid-shooting game from Anthony Edwards. He only had 20-something points. Really no production from Rudy Gobert on the glass or scoring-wise as well. You had 7 turnovers from Julius Randle, and Minnesota was still dominant in this one. I think they got up like 20 in the third quarter. Really never looked back. I mean, that is a really encouraging win for the Minnesota Timberwolves, the fact that they were not even firing on all cylinders and they still won so comfortably on the road. I still think this series is far from over, but when you look at the games that Naz Reid and what Jaden McDaniels was able to do on the offensive side of the court, that was massive. Those guys were fantastic during the regular season, especially in that stretch where Julius Randle wasn't healthy. They immediately stepped in and increased their offensive production, and it felt like those expanded roles that these guys got during the regular season last year definitely paid off in game one. And so ultimately, my pick for the series, I'm still going to stick with the Lakers. I think they win this series in 7 games. They will have the advantage if it gets to game 7 to have that final game of the series at home. And the reason I'm sticking with that pick is, again, it's still really hard for the Lakers to stop Luka. I think JJ Redick's going to get more comfortable with coaching in a playoff atmosphere as the season goes on. I feel like that's kind of forgotten in all this, that he's still a rookie head coach that really doesn't have any notable coaching experience at all before this. He's done a great job with the Lakers team, but we know the playoffs is a different beast. And I think the Lakers still have the ability to neutralize Gobert quite a bit with their small ball lineups that they would prefer to close the game with anyway. It's just going to be tough for Gobert to guard anybody out there. And if he does, you know, they're going to be pulling him away from the basket. He's going to be guarding a three-point shooter. And so you're not getting much from Gobert on offense anyway. So at that point, you probably bench him. And so with the Lakers' ability to dictate matchups, because I still have confidence that Luka will be better in future games, I think the Lakers are going to be able to win this series in 7, but I really wouldn't be surprised either way, because it's hard to pick against the Timberwolves based on what we saw yesterday. Now let's move on to the series that are kicking off today on April 20th, starting off with Thunder versus Grizzlies. That game tips off in about an hour here. This is probably the matchup of round one that I'm least excited about. I just feel like OKC is actually kind of a similar team to Memphis as far as the way that they play and having a lot of young athletes and guys that they can throw on the court there. But OKC just does everything Memphis does at a way higher level. So I think this is going to be a cakewalk matchup for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Based on their performance during the regular season, I'd be pretty surprised if Memphis is able to steal one game, even, to be totally honest with you. So I don't have much to say on this series. We'll see how it plays out today, but I'm going with Thunder in four. Next series of the day, we have my Boston Celtics tipping off in Boston against the Orlando Magic. To be honest with you, when I was watching that first play-in game this past Tuesday, Hawks versus Magic, I was hoping for the Hawks to win, even though ironically enough, the Hawks, I think they stole two games off the Celtics 2 years ago in round one, which took a lot of people by surprise. The Hawks beat the Celtics in the NBA Cup this past year. They beat the Celtics at the end of the regular season last year in a couple of really close games. So even though Atlanta seems to have the Celtics number as well, I'd still much rather see the Hawks in a playoff series than the Magic right about now. Both teams are pretty banged up. Both teams really shouldn't be a threat to the Celtics, but I feel like Orlando is a much better team defensively. They have a lot more size to throw at the Boston Celtics. They play a lot more physical, so they could beat up the Celtics a little bit more than what the Hawks would do. And ultimately, I'd rather play against like the bad defense than the bad offense, because any team in the NBA has the capabilities of suddenly like knocking down 15, 20 threes in a night, and you're like, oh my God, where did that come from? And so if Orlando has one hot shooting game, you know, that could be kind of scary for the Celtics, and, you know, maybe they end up dropping one game in the series. But ultimately, if the Celtics are as good as what I think they are, they should have no problem playing against the Orlando Magic team with arguably the worst guards in the NBA. I know Cole Anthony and Anthony Black had really great games against the Atlanta Hawks in that play-in game, but that has not been a reoccurring theme for them all year long. Without Jalen Suggs, they're really weak in the backcourt, and so I'm taking the Celtics to win in four games. And so I know that's kind of light for Celtics talk right about now. I'm hoping to bring on my buddy RJ again next week to talk Celtics and really preview their title defense and go all in on what we saw from the team toward the end of the regular season and their biggest challenges throughout the playoffs. And so I'll just give you a little taste of Celtics talk for now, because we should have more coming on the next episode. The third game of the day today, we have Cavs versus Heat. And I know Miami might have turned a little bit of heads with their performance, winning back-to-back play-in games. And honestly, they look good too, right? It wasn't just that they went out and took advantage of a crappy Hawks team and a crappy Bulls team. I think they showed the ability to roll over the Chicago Bulls, and they showed the ability to win a really tough game on the road against the Atlanta Hawks on Friday night. And so I'll give the Heat one game in this series, right? Maybe they're able to steal one of those games in Miami, just like they were able to steal one game against the Celtics last year in round one. I will say that the Cavs win in five. I don't have a lot of concerns about the Cavs heading into the playoffs. I mean, they haven't had a lot to play for, so I know they've dropped off a little bit over the past 3 weeks compared to what we saw at the start of the season. But I'm thinking overall this series is probably going to be a bit of a snooze fest. I'm taking Cavs in five. And then finally, the last game of the day we have later tonight, Warriors versus Rockets. Really excited for this series. This is going to be awesome, especially for round one. You know that Steph Curry is going to be haunted by his three-point performance against the Houston Rockets that he had a couple weeks ago. It is worth noting the only 3 points he had in that game were like a half-court heave at like the end of like a quarter or at the end of the half or something like that. Besides that, he was completely shut out by the Houston Rockets and headlined by Amen Thompson, what he was able to do on Steph. Definitely not expecting a repeat of that performance, especially now that the playoffs are here and Golden State has an extra level that they can get to, but it's not going to be easy for Steph Curry. And I know that the Golden State Warriors might have the two best players in this series, and they definitely have the best player with how good Steph has been lately, and Jimmy's made a real case to be the second best guy in that series as well, but Houston just has so much more youth, way more athletes to throw at Golden State, and I think they just overall play so much harder than what Golden State does. They're going to be fired up playing in front of their home crowd later tonight. I think Ime Udoka's a great coach, and so this series is going to be an absolute dogfight. Ultimately, I'm going with the Warriors to win in six games. I think they're able to close it out on their home floor before it gets to a game seven. Ultimately, because of the late game concerns I have for the Houston Rockets. I've loved watching the Rockets all year. They've been arguably my favorite league pass team, but I just think that they have a lack of creation at the end of a close game. You know, maybe it's Fred VanVleet. Maybe it's Jalen Green. Maybe they find a way to shoehorn some touches into Şengün. But I think on the defensive end of the court, the Warriors have a lot of different guys to throw at Houston in that situation. And so even though I feel like Houston's going to be able to win two games outright before it gets to a clutch situation, I think any close game, I'm going to side with Golden State. And that's leading me to my pick of Warriors in six. But man, if there was a series that the Warriors could really use the athleticism and the defense of Jonathan Kuminga, it would be this one, right? Being able to throw him at guys like Alperen Şengün for a stretch of time, being able to throw him at guys like Jalen Green, throw him at guys like Jabari Smith or Tari Eason. Like, Jonathan Kuminga could fit right into this series, but him coming off back-to-back DNPs in the play-in and the final game of the regular season, I feel like Steve Kerr maybe has made up his mind as far as what he thinks he's going to be able to get from Jonathan Kuminga, and that is just a lot of wasted ability for a Golden State team that's not overwhelmingly deep or overwhelmingly talented. So we'll see if that ends up biting Golden State in the ass. And if it does, that'd probably be the reason that they lose that series. So in summary, for round one, I think we have three like tier one incredible matchups. Then we have two really solid matchups. And then we have three matchups that are kind of mid. The incredible matchups are Denver versus the Clippers, the Lakers versus the Timberwolves, and the Warriors versus the Rockets. I think for round one series, those are about as good as you're going to get. And I think if you ask any of those teams, I think all six of them actually believe that they could make a run all the way to the Western Conference Finals or the NBA Finals, and they wouldn't be crazy to say that. You move on to the second tier matchups, I think the Knicks versus the Pistons is going to be really fun, mainly because of the physicality that we saw yesterday, right? Like, both these teams play so hard. They got a lot of guys that believe they're the toughest guys on the court, so I think every game is going to be really, really physical, headlined by two really ball-dominant players that, you know, it's going to be Cade handling the ball at the end of the close game, just like you know it's going to be Brunson at the end of the close game for the Knicks. So I think because those teams, their style of play, I think that's a really fun first round series matchup. And then, of course, Bucks versus Pacers. I think that's another tier two matchup where it's solid. It's fun. These teams have a history together. They're division rivals. And I think it could go either way. Another really solid round one matchup. And then the ones that are mid, I think Boston versus Orlando. I don't think Boston's going to have a lot of trouble there. OKC versus Memphis. OKC shouldn't have much trouble there. And Cleveland versus Miami. Cleveland shouldn't have much trouble there. So to no surprise, the teams that have been like in that top class all year long, I don't think they're going to be really challenged when it comes to round one. So before I let you guys go, I did just want to preview the rest of my bracket. I'm not going to spend really any time like going into the specifics of these matchups, but because the playoffs started yesterday, I just wanted to get all my picks on the record, not just for round one, but the rest of the way as well. So we're going to pretend I just like don't miss on any of these picks. And so assuming my bracket is correct in round two, starting off in the Eastern Conference, I would have the Celtics winning over the New York Knicks. I just feel like they've been dominant in that matchup, going 4-0 against the Knicks. It's a tough matchup basketball-wise for New York. So I think the Celtics will be able to advance past the Knicks if they get to round two. Same thing with the Cavs. I'm taking them over the Pacers or over the Bucks. It really doesn't make a difference. I feel like Cleveland's just been too good all year long, and there's too many flaws with both Milwaukee and their lack of depth, and Indiana just doesn't scare me as much as Cleveland. I think they just have less ways that they can win. So I'm taking the Celtics and the Cavs to win in both round one and round two. Moving on to round two in the West, if all my picks are correct, we would have a Nuggets versus Thunder round two matchup. And while most people, and deservedly so, would just not even think about it and move forward with the Oklahoma City Thunder, I'm sticking with Denver. I just can't seem to quit the Denver Nuggets. That's definitely the hottest take that I have, is that I have Denver beating OKC in round two. I know that OKC did a lot to add size, and bringing in Isaiah Hartenstein this past offseason makes them a much bigger threat against Denver, in my opinion. But I still feel like they're going to struggle with Jokic, with what he's able to create. And if Denver is able to get production from their role players, I think that we just haven't seen OKC get punched in the mouth in a playoff series, right? Like, their best experience was last year rolling over a Pelican team with no Zion, and they lost to Dallas in round two in six games. And even though a lot of those games were really close and competitive, I felt like I was always really confident that Dallas was able to win. And if you want to pick OKC, like, you probably have a better argument for that, but I'm going with Denver. I'm just taking Jokic. I'm taking the experience. And even if the Clippers beat the Nuggets in round one, and I'm wrong on that, I think the Clippers versus OKC would be a really tough series. So I think OKC's 1 year away from ultimately winning the Western Conference as a whole, if I had to predict out that far. So I would be taking the Nuggets over the Thunder in round two. And if, again, my picks are correct, we would have Warriors versus Lakers, Steph versus LeBron in round two. In that matchup, I would go with Golden State. I feel like the lower-seeded team is actually going to win in both of these situations. I really liked what I saw from Golden State in their regular season matchups against the Lakers this year. I feel like if you go small, and both the Lakers and the Warriors, they obviously want to close with a small ball lineup. I'm just more scared of the lineup that Golden State is putting on the court. And so I feel like because of the cohesion that they have together, because of the advantage they have in a small ball situation, I'm going with Golden State over the Lakers in round two. And then finally, that would bring us to a conference finals of Celtics versus Cavs and Nuggets versus Warriors. Shouldn't be a big surprise. I'm going with my Boston Celtics to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. They were 2-2 against the Cavs this series, and I think it's going to be a really tough series for Boston, but I just feel more confident in the Celtics, in their experience, in the weapons that they have on the offensive end of the court. I'm taking the Celtics to beat the Cavs, just like I'm taking the Denver Nuggets to beat the Golden State Warriors. So I am taking the Nuggets to make it all the way to the NBA Finals. I feel like if they get that matchup over Golden State, that's just really tough for Golden State to handle Jokic. I just don't think they're well equipped. I don't think they have enough size to throw at him. It's going to be a big test from Draymond Green, but I think it's ultimately too much to ask. And so, believe it or not, I'm sticking with my NBA Finals pick before the season, Celtics versus Nuggets. Maybe I'm just anchored to that take. And again, I could be totally wrong here. The Nuggets could easily end up losing this series in round one. And one of my finals picks is just out before we even get to round two. And it really wouldn't be that crazy. I think that's just how tough the Western Conference is to read right now. I feel really good about my Celtics' chances of getting there. And so all that being said, my NBA Finals pick, especially if it ends up being Celtics versus Nuggets, I'm taking my Boston Celtics to repeat, man. I feel really confident that they are the best team in a playoff situation. Right now, all their guys are healthy. We're just praying for Jaylen Brown's knee to make sure that he's 100% for this run. But I feel like the Celtics have the experience. They have the confidence. They have the flexibility with the lineup and the bench situation where it's just too much for Denver or really anybody in the West to handle. So I am taking my Celtics to repeat. I'm sure a lot of you guys are shocked to hear that. But we're going to talk more about the Celtics on my next podcast. I just had to get all of that on the record before we get too far into the NBA playoffs. So again, I hope to have RJ on within the next week. Before I let you guys go, enjoy the playoffs. Have a happy Easter. Have a happy 420. Be sure to follow at Words with Wallace on everything that includes Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you get your podcasts. Support the show on social media. Even if you guys aren't listening, can't imagine there's a ton of you guys making at this point in a playoff episode that I'm dropping on a Sunday, but please support the content on social media. That would be huge. At Words with Wallace on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. A like on a reel, a share, a repost of a reel goes a long way. And I will talk to you guys next week. Peace.